And welcome to the People's Game 2019. I'm Alan Minsky, and I'm joined by my co-host, Melissa Figueroa. And, of course, this was the much-anticipated biggest day of the tournament, the quarterfinal showdown between the two top favorites, the USA, the defending champions, and France, the host nation. And France in recent years has really built up its women's national team with a really fantastic domestic professional women's league. And this was just a showdown that was highly anticipated. And let me just say two words to sum up the game. Megan Rapinoe. Mel, your thoughts.
Absolutely. According to Wikipedia, apparently, we seated a new president of the United States today as Megan Rapinoe makes two incredible goals. One that's a free kick that looked like it just passed, it just floated underneath what something like seven people's legs before hitting the goal. And of course, in the 65th minute, a great team effort from Morgan, Heath, and Rapinoe to score. Of course, being attacked by the whoever sitting in the White House right now.
Yeah. I think the reason Megan Rapinoe won the presidency today is because that free kick passed through more legs than there are Democratic presidential candidates. Okay. And then
yes.
Flew into the goal against the will of Donald Trump. And we now hand the keys to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and beautifully Wikipedia captured it perfectly. I imagine they've
Absolutely.
Changed it by now, but it's a beautiful screenshot that's floating around. Somebody literally entered on Wikipedia that on June 28th, 2019, Megan Rapinoe ascended to be the president of the United States. Sorry to have interrupted, Mel. Take it away.
Oh, no, absolutely. And you know, of course, having floated beyond the wall, you know, it's a great fusion, actually, of soccer and politics that we here at the People's Game love so much and that our work is dedicated to. So thank you, Pino, for Prez. I think it was the best game of the tournament so far. Absolutely lived up to the hype. And it felt like a final, even though it was just a quarterfinal.
Well, you know, I'll say something a little bit different there. I thought it was a little tense and therefore didn't produce the best, most free-flowing soccer. There's a lot of football talent out on that field. And I think somewhat the intensity of the moment, I think, really led to the players concentrating on the gamesmanship of the moment, the tactics and strategies, particularly of the United States. I mean, they took a very, very strategic approach to the game with an instantaneous adjustment following an early goal, and they've scored an early goal in every turn in every game so far this tournament, but a very quick strategic adjustment into a very, very disciplined structure. And their defense was fantastic. One of the commentators said, when you play France, you want to let France have the ball. Well, this, of course, then played into the USA's hand because the French then proceeded to have loads and loads of the ball, passing it among themselves, being quite creative through the middle third of the field and then hitting the brick wall of the United States. And I really think in the first half, there really wasn't a top-level challenge to the U.S. goal, even though the French had 75% of the ball possession after the USA scored the goal.
Absolutely. There were a couple close calls. Obviously, there was that goal in the 75th minute, but Nair did do a fair amount of work. I think this should also dispel all of the doubts that people have had about the U.S. team's defense going into the tournament. They were brilliant, and I really have to give props where it's due to Crystal Dunn. That duel, that 90-minute-long duel between Dunn and Diani, on the French team was really just thrilling and a great showcase for Diaspora FC.
Yeah, and also I think that there were a few American players who I think once the strategic defensive shell is adopted weren't really in a position to. I mean, they were dropping back. They were playing defense. Alex Morgan, again, just hasn't really been as sharp as I felt she was last World Cup, you know, after the five goals against Thailand, though she did score a beautiful goal, but they decided that Crystal Dunn's toe was offside. You know, it was just right. That close. And that would have put the game away probably at 3-0. And, of course, it did really look like the and just to hang on Alex Morgan here for a second, and we can all return back to other players and Megan Rapinoe in particular. But when the goal was scored by France, it's like, oh boy, this may not work out going into this defensive shell for so long. They had the third goal taken away by, again, a few inches. And, you know, is this going to backfire? And in the final 10 minutes of the game, I have never seen a team put a game to sleep as effectively as 11 players on the USA team did in the final 10 minutes of that game. They kept the ball down in the corners of the French side of the field for like 7 out of the last 10 minutes. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but at least 4 or 5. And I've rarely seen that universally used tactic done to such effect. And therein, Alex Morgan actually was a primary player there and did a brilliant job.
Oh yeah, she was she had the you know, casual stroll in the park vibe going, you know, which was fine because I mean, I although selfishly, you know, I was already so thrilled by the game that I was kind of hoping for a France equalizer just so we could have 30 more minutes of this brilliant game, but absolutely they were expert at tactically, you know, doing what they needed to do to lock away that game.
Well, you know, and again, we've spoken a lot over the over the series of people's games over the years, going all the way back to 2010, about you know, toxic nationalism, toxic American nationalism, and our sense of guilt about rooting for Team USA in the face of our personal political internationalism. And of course, against our unease about rooting for the imperial hegemon. Now, of course, in the United States of America, the women's team is, of course, been the iconic side in global football, and there are issues around you know, gender equality, feminism, and the marginalization of women's sports that also compel us to have, you know, much warmer and fuzzy feelings about the U.S. women's national team, even than we do the men's national team. And
absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, it's really funny because, you know, after, you know, Rapinoe's iconic comment that she's not going to the bleeping White House, and Trump, of course, you know, attacking her on that point, apparently all of the USA, USA chanting nationalistic right-wing MAGA crowd ended up rooting for France this time around. So much for nationalism.
Yeah.
And so that was a kind of funny, ironic twist to the day.
Yeah, and of course, one of the reasons that, you know, we would have a very hard time rooting for a U.S. men's national team, given our internationalism, given the history of soccer and men's soccer in particular being a global game in which the USA is on the margins, part of our affection for the U.S. men's national team is them as underdogs. And, of course, that's not the case with the U.S. women's national team. But, again, with Megan Rapinoe, it's very easy for us to embrace it. But I also have to go back to I am going to do some self-criticism over these airwaves, as it were, because, you know, one of the reasons that I didn't want to see France win, and this is petty, and I know it's petty, is that, of course, I grew up partly in Italy. I'm a big fan of the Azzurri, and the idea that really Italy is one of their primary rivals in global football would be the first country ever to hold both the men and women's World Cup, and that it would be France, irked me to such a degree that I really didn't want to see the French national team win. And again, Megan Rapinoe plus that, those were the two main components for me that had me rooting for Team USA today.
Oh yeah, you know, an interesting tweet that I read as we were live tweeting the game at the People's Game on Twitter is that apparently there was a group of fans that, while walking towards the stadium for the match, were chanting equal pay. Again, this has been a very, very contentious and a serious issue for not just the women's U.S. women's team, but for women's teams around the world as their federations. I think the U.S. At one point also had to sue to get paid, but I think the Canadian women's team is currently in a lawsuit about it, and other federations around the world have struggled with getting recognition and support and what they are owed from their football federations. So seeing that the fans kind of by themselves taking up this cause as a cause for women in general, but especially as demanding respect for the women's game is really again brings that fusion of sports and politics to the fore, especially in the Women's World Cup.
It's appalling. I mean, the U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team is one of the most glorious teams in all of American sports, certainly over the past few decades, and really throughout the entire history of American sports. And
absolutely.
And these people,
I think, as I said before, they are something approaching a perfect sports team in terms of their camaraderie and their synchronization on the field.
Yeah, and whatever iconic sports team you want to talk about, whether it's AC Milan, which of course is tough for me to say because Silvio Berlusconi rode the glory of the team in the late 1980s, a team that many people view as one of the best sides of all time, or whatever European club side that people viewed as potentially one of the best sides of all time, the early Real Madrid teams, etc. You go over to Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, Wayne Gretzky, and the Edmonton Oilers. This team is there. It really
absolutely
is. And over its long history, and the idea then that now has been a big news story that they are compensated radically less than the scrubby, disappointing U.S. men's national team really should register, and it needs to register as a national and global disgrace.
Exactly. I mean, talk about even though the average pay gap for women versus men in the workplace at large is something was at 73 cents on the dollar, apparently the U.S. women's national team is going to be paid less than one-fifth of the bonus that the men's national team will be getting should they win.
Let me just remind people that's a U.S. men's national team that failed to qualify for the World Cup finals for their inability to get a result in Trinidad and Tobago, a team that had already been eliminated from possibly advancing in the competition and is, one millionth the size of the United States in terms of population. And those guys get, again, loads more cash for their efforts than this absolutely brilliant and in so many ways meriting of celebration in honor of the U.S. Women's World Cup team.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate because, at this time when, again, there's so much atomization in the world and so much division and stuff, I think as someone had said it in the Atlantic, I believe the infectious idealism of the U.S. women's national team really is inspirational, it's unfortunate how much, again, sexism, misogyny has diminished the spirit of the women's national team that we all should be accepting, because not only is it a team camaraderie that is the envy of a lot of sports teams everywhere, it's also interesting that really united in its defiance. I think Hope Solo just said that Donald Trump blocked her after supporting Megan Rapinoe in her protest. Rapinoe herself was the first American athlete outside of American football to take a knee after Colin Kaepernick's protest. So that kind of independent spirit, defiant spirit, is something that, we should all be learning from. It's great because even Fox Sports has been called out on this kind of diminishing and diluting of this, just formidable women's side. Alexi Lawless, who has always kind of been terrible, right, was especially terrible by saying that he would wear a wedding dress in front of the Eiffel Tower if the U.S. won. And, of course, a lot of people are calling him out on that, and that's a good thing.
Well, he certainly should be called out as well for his attitude towards Megan Rapinoe, which is utterly repulsive. And
absolutely.
And again, this kind of like just boorish American patriarchal refusal to extend our First Amendment rights to people who are practicing their First Amendment rights for a good cause, like opposing a proto-fascist in the White House. So Megan Rapinoe scored two goals today, and in both of them, she struck a marvelous pose. On July 4th, Donald Trump is taking over the annual fireworks display on the National Mall, and they are allowing his the orange baby Trump balloon to go. I'd love to see statues of Megan Rapinoe's pose on the Mall on July 4th, right there where Trump can't miss it, because it's a beautiful and I think iconic goal celebration. And she just scored two fantastic goals, one off a free kick and one where, while it was true the hard work was done down the right wing, and then the ball was crossed into the middle and all the defense followed Alex Morgan, I believe it was, or another player making a run, and there was the ball. It still wasn't the easiest ball to put back because the defender and the French goalie were scrambling back across the goal, and Megan Rapinoe was able to slot it away beautifully. Two goals, the last four goals for the U.S. Women's World Cup team. Donald Trump, take that. But I do have to say, now that we are through past France, the tournament ain't over. And we now have, again, the other quarterfinals, both taking place tomorrow in the wake of the hottest day ever recorded in the history of France. Hello, global warming, which was, I think, yesterday. And now there is a day game between Italy and the Netherlands, followed by an evening game between Germany and Sweden. And, of course, those two winners will face off. And why we will probably meet up again on the People's Game right after the U.S.-England semifinal or before it, we can already say we do have this final between England, who looked razor sharp in their quarterfinal facing USA. So while there is no doubt euphoria in the Team USA ranks, and they've defeated the other co-favorite going into the tournament, probably along with Germany. England and Germany would have been the third and fourth favorites in the tournament. This is not going to be an easy match. And England, really, who had not looked as sharp in some of their round-robin group stages, looked super sharp now.
Absolutely.
In their quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a tough match for the U.S.
Oh,
women's
yeah.
national team.
Yeah, Lucy Bronze is definitely a force to be reckoned with. They were way up on their game, even though Norway, in the first half of that game, did sort of put up a fight. A lot of people are also billing this as, sort of a contest between, these two highly successful coaches, Jill Ellis and Phil Neville.
Mm.
It's going to be, the semifinal of 1776, I suppose?
Well, it's that and also Phil Neville or of course, Brazil 1950, but the, where the U.S. men's national team upset the, English national team in their first ever World Cup appearance in 1950. But I do have to say, in all due respect to my Everton brother, Phil Neville, I'm with Megan Rapinoe on this one. England went out tragically in last year's World Cup with an own goal, and that was a very heartbreaking scene. These are two excellent sides, but I really do think the resiliency of this U.S. women's national team and their capacity to just strike so well on the counterattack. By the way, I would look out for number 9 for England, who's aptly named Paris down the right side is really having a fantastic tournament, a breakout tournament for the English. Obviously, their striker is putting the ball in the net at a pretty exceptional rate, now equal to Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe for leading the Golden Boot competition. But again, this resiliency of the U.S. women's national team, I really have to think they're going to bounce back. They're not going to over-celebrate the victory against France, though I do think it's going to be one heck of a match. I do anticipate the United States getting past England and returning to the championship game of the World Cup to attempt to repeat from their victory on 2015. Your thoughts on this initial reflections on the upcoming semifinal between the USA and England?
I think it's going to be probably, hopefully, just as thrilling as today's match is. Again, I think probably there. I can't remember which side Lucy Bronze is playing on, but I think Crystal Dunn might give her a run for the money. Of course, we've got the greats on that side. Hopefully, again, I always love it when the game is so evenly matched and so aggressively striving for the greatness, like we saw today. I think that there will be a nice match between the respective goalkeepers of each team. So I'm just looking forward to another thrilling ride in the semifinals.
And lastly, I will close with this. While Megan Rapinoe deserves all the glory she receives, at the end of the day, the way this match was structured, I came across so impressed with the USA central defense. They were shutting down wave after wave of French attack. And while the goalie did have to do some work in the second half, and a goal eventually got let through, but again, a little bit of a mess up there in terms of not playing the onside trap as efficiently as they had throughout the rest of the game. But boy, even without the onside trap shutting down the French, just the shutdown of the USA defense, their discipline once they got a lead. Now the English have shown that they're very efficient in front of goal. USA's efficient in front of goal when they go on the attack. Should be a great match, but I think the decisive factor going into this match, if it performs anywhere near as powerfully as it did against France, is the airtight USA defense. So, great match to look forward to. It was a tremendous day. No matter the outcome of the World Cup, this will be remembered as both a tremendous day in the history of U.S. Women's World Cup soccer, winning and knocking out the home with the host of the tournament, the co-favorite of the tournament, France, in an era when the French National League is ascendant globally, that this was a great victory for Team USA and one of the great moments for radical politics in recent American sports.
Right. We're not going to the bleeping White House.
Well, thank you so much for being here, my co-host Mel Figueroa on The People's Game.
Great. And check us out on Twitter at @people_game.
Solid cross into the far stick. Megan Rapinoe, I went to the casino and placed my bets on you to win the World Cup, because I think that you deserve to, and I think it'd make you happy and the rest of the team too. Grab the mic, sing out a quick line, lay down a little Springsteen. And if you come back through Chicago, I hope I see you step out on the pitch and get yourself a hat trick. Megan Rapinoe, I went to the casino and placed my bets on.